One of the events leading up to the Civil War was a speech given by Abraham Lincoln in 1858. He wasn't even president then. But he said this, and he said it truthfully. He said, in the speech, he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free." His conclusion was, "We will be either one or the other." As you know, both sides felt strongly enough to fight and ultimately die for their beliefs. Well, there is a similar battle going on within you, in your heart and mind this morning. It is your battle of either or. You struggle every day whether you will be one or the other. You will either follow yourself or you will follow Jesus. Which will it be for you? The follower of Jesus fulfills the purpose for which God created them. Which will it be for you? The battle of either or. We're going to read in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 18. The disciples of John reported to him about all these things, all the things going on that they saw with Jesus. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?'" At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. "To what then shall I compare the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children." You're in a battle today, whether you realize it or not. It's a battle of either or. Your either or battle will come to an end if you recognize Jesus for who he is. Jesus came to be your king, your savior, not your servant. John had announced the visitation of God, and the people were experiencing that visitation in Jesus. John, as you may have struggled with what Jesus came to do, John experienced real doubt and he questioned whether Jesus was really the Christ, because Jesus was so different than what he expected. Here they are living in a land dominated by another country. They're controlled by the Romans. They were longing for the day when they would be set free. They were longing for the day when the foot of the Roman army would be taken off of their neck. And Jesus didn't come that way. He didn't come as the conqueror that way. He came as the Savior. John had been in prison, so he sends two of his followers to question Jesus. Are you the one? Are you the expected one? Are you the coming one? John had been a stern prophet of repentance. And here Jesus was speaking of grace as a priority in the purposes of God. And so what John wanted to know was, are you the one who carries the hopes of all the people for all these years to be fulfilled in you or not? The Jews wanted the Christ to change their lives. Jesus came to change hearts. And for some of you, that may be exactly where you struggle. You want Jesus to change your life, and he wants to first change your heart. In verse 22, Jesus replied by quoting Isaiah passages. He came to set the captive free. He came to give the lame walk and the blind to receive sight. Sometimes we struggle. We struggle with what we are expecting when reality is not the same. But he is the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Do you recognize Jesus this morning for who he is? A certain millionaire rode the elevator to the top of his office building every day. He was a self-made man, but because he wanted to stay fit and live long, he would walk down the stairs when he went out of the building. He never saw the scrub lady there. One day, he started down the stairs, and in a soapy pool of water was a bar of soap, and he stepped on it. Well, one foot went one way, and the other foot went another way, and he sat down, but he didn't stay there. He all the way down that flight of stairs. But ever since then, the man has taken notice of the scrub lady, a very important person to pay attention to. Well, as we approach Thanksgiving and then Christmas, are you paying attention to Jesus? Are you paying attention to Jesus? Are you thankful Jesus came to do for you what you could not do for yourself? Do you recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior? There has been through the years this dichotomy of thought that he can be Lord but not Savior. And I want to say to you that I don't believe that. Because unless he is controlling your life, then he is not your Savior. Because he came to give us a new heart, not necessarily a new life. This morning, have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Do you recognize him as the one to follow? You were created to know him, love him, and follow him. But our problems are when we expect him to do something different than what we want him to do, or what he came to do. And the problem is when our expectations are up here and our reality's down here, we say, well, Jesus, you just didn't do it. You must not be the one. Well, he is the one. But he didn't come to change your life, per se. He came to change your heart. So what's going on in your heart? The problems of frustration and anger and disappointment stem from that gap between reality and expectations. This morning, do you want Jesus to change your heart or change your life? Some of us want Jesus to make us bigger, stronger, faster, richer, more, better looking, all these things. When what he came to do is change the internals of our lives. Is that the either-or battle going on in your life? Either one or the other. Your either-or battle comes to an end as you become part of the kingdom of God. Are you in or are you out? Jesus came to be your king, your savior, not your servant. Jesus makes the point. The reeds are out in the wilderness, but they do not attract crowds. And it was not at all unusual at all, to see a reed blown by the wind. And the finely dressed attract crowds, but they're not looked for out in the wilderness. And so he's using a play on words to make a point. What were you expecting? What were you looking for? The people had gone out to the wilderness to hear a prophet of God, a spokesman for God. And he makes the point that John was the greatest in all of human history that human history has to offer, because he was the forerunner of the Messiah. But in the measure by which the kingdom of God is measured, the kingdom of God transcends human history. The littlest of the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest of human history. And so John was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the forerunner for Jesus the Messiah. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I grew up in church. I probably have heard, if some of you who have been in church all of your life, I have probably heard, just as I am, 1,000 times plus. Charlotte Elliott is the woman's name who wrote the words. She had asked a man what it took to become a Christian. His reply was, "You only have to come to Jesus." Her response was, "But I am a very great sinner. Will he take me just as I am?" And the man replied, "Yes, he will take you just as you are and no other way." Charlotte said, "If he will take me just as I am, then I will come." And she went home and wrote the words to the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And that truth ought to make you thankful every day, not just Thursdays. It's so easy to relate to a group of people. It's so easy to relate to a church. No real change of life is necessary. It's just a change of time management. But becoming part of the kingdom of God is not so easy. Repentance is involved. Repentance is admitting you cannot save yourself or lead yourself or really take care of yourself. Some of you know that and have heard me tell that one of the magazines we get is the World Magazine, and I would recommend that magazine to you. It is a current event magazine written from a Christian perspective. Well, in a recent letter to the editor section, and I always love to read letters to the editor, a writer wrote in talking about a statement of faith that has been going around the country. It's called the Nashville Statement. And the man said, I would have signed the agreement if it had been 13 points long. But it's 14 points long, and it said that the repentance is necessary to enter the kingdom of God, and I don't believe that. Well, you can believe what you want, but Scripture says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is there anything going on in your life that you have felt conviction about, knowing that God wants you to repent, to turn away from it? Some of it, the hardest decisions in life is to let go of control. And that ultimately is where I think most people struggle when they think about or are pressed with the idea of coming to Christ as and let Him be Savior and Lord, is letting go of control. We think we are in control. We like to believe that we're in control when the truth of it is that we're not. We're not. And we need to give that up. We need to give up our independent life. Give up wanting to fit in, to be part of the in-group. Follow Jesus. It's hard at school, and it's hard in the workplace. When you are faced with people who do not believe in Christ, who do not want to follow Jesus, who want to live their own life, it is hard. Follow Him. Jesus is a worthy leader. What's keeping you from Christ this morning? What's keeping you from being a part of the kingdom of God? either one or the other. Your either-or battle demands a decision on your part. Who is Jesus? Are you in or are you out? Jesus came to be your king, your savior, not your servant. In the first two sections, Jesus and John have been respectively defined over against what is represented by the other. Seen together, they are a signal for the coming of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Those reoriented to the purpose of God are open to Jesus. The Jewish leaders considered themselves above the need to be part of a repentance movement. And I tell you, if you need to study the Sermon on the Mount. Because what Jesus was saying in that message was, is what you think it's like is not at all what it's like. And one of the things that he said is that we can keep the law on the external, and the Pharisees and the lawyers were all about the external. But what's going on externally and what's going on in the heart may be two different things, and typically are. And so that's what he's pointing out in all this. That they were so disoriented or so against this idea of repentance. And he makes the point. Just like children playing a game, they missed who Jesus and John were. The cues were missed. And instead, John dismissed as a man who was possessed, and Jesus as a partier. And the saddest words ever said were said about them. They rejected God's purpose for themselves. The headline in the letters to the editor section read, "Just who can we trust, God or man?" The letter said, "In God we trust, in man we should trust, in man I do trust." And those may be your sentiments as well. Lincoln was right. It's either one or the other. It's either we're going to follow Christ or we're not. They had rejected, the Pharisees had rejected why Jesus had come. Have you? As someone said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. What do you say? Think back to September 11th, 2001. 9/11, we know it. Remember the Sunday afterward? Church was much fuller, wasn't it? For about 2 or 3 weeks, and then people kind of went back to their own thing. We've just had two huge tragedies in our country. A couple, 3 weeks ago, 26 people are killed in Sutherland Springs, Texas. About a month before that, the shootings in Las Vegas. Nothing. No reaction. No real reaction at all. Once we got over the shock of the situation, we went back to our self-directed lives. Some setback came, but there was no real reaction. Something happens in our lives and we rush to church. Where were you, God? Where were you when all this happened? And then the next day we turn our back on him. He is either a liar, he's either a lunatic, or he is Lord. What will it take for the Lord to get your attention? What will become of us, of you, as things get worse culturally and socially? Will it be enough? Will it be enough for God to get your attention? This morning, consider this question too. Have you found God's purpose for your life? See, that's really tied up in the either or question. Either Jesus is who he says he is, or he's not. Either he is the Savior that I've desired, that I've needed, or he's not. He's either my leader, or he's not. This morning, are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? Either you are or you aren't. But we have to start by recognizing Jesus for who he is. He came to be your Savior. He came to be your leader, not your servant. It's an either or battle that you must decide.